Well, would you turn in your notes this morning to what makes biblical counseling biblical? Let me say a couple things to you just about this particular lecture. What makes biblical counseling biblical? Maybe even starting by talking about why do we need this topic? We have had not only a counseling center here for 30 years, but it's also been a training center. And I didn't take the time to explain that last night, but let me try to explain it a little bit now. Our former pastor, Bill Good, along with Dr. Bob Smith, who's still alive and still a very important part of our counseling ministry, they were the co-founders of Faith Biblical Counseling Ministries years and years ago. And they got into it. Doc Smith will explain his part of the story and can tell it certainly better than I can. But when he got interested in biblical counseling, that's when Jay Adams had just written Competent to Counsel. And so Doc Smith actually got a hold of Jay, went down and spent a little time with him. And Jay told him that his associate, John Bettler, was doing a D-Min in Chicago at the time. And so Jay said, listen, John Bettler knows everything I know. Why don't you, since you're in Gary, that's where Doc Smith and Pastor Good were at the time, why don't you just go and receive training from John Bettler in Chicago? And so that's how all of this got started from our perspective here in the Midwest, was Bill Good, who was pastoring in Gary, which, by the way, is the church that I grew up in, if you're trying to figure out my connection. But Bill Good, who was pastoring in Gary, Bob Smith, who was a medical doctor in that same area, went to Chicago with another group of Christian leaders to receive training in biblical counseling. But it was on with this particular expectation. John Bettler made it clear he would not train them unless they started a counseling center. He said, listen, this isn't the kind of thing that you can just learn by books. You have to be doing it. And so they started a counseling center, which became a training center. And so for all of these years, we've not only had counseling on Mondays for people in our community, but we've also provided training for pastors, missionaries, key lay people. And so the model looks like this. Our bread and butter program all these years has been an 11-week training program on Mondays where people from around the Midwest travel here, and they start receiving lecture in the morning from 9 o'clock till about 1 o'clock. Then they sit in with us on live counseling sessions for the rest of the afternoon and the evening. That's been a great opportunity for us to try to be a blessing to other local churches. We really do believe in equipping, and so that's an important part of our strategy, the way that we're trying to be a blessing to the body of Christ. It's also been great because when you've got all these preachers around, you have all these theologians, all these lay people who are in the trenches, they're constantly pushing back on you. Now, wait a minute. Why did you do this? Why did you do this? What about this? What about this? I heard this in this lecture. What about this? And that really has helped us over the years strengthen our material. This particular conference came out of a group of people who said, look, I want biblical counseling training, but there's no way I'm going to be coming to Lafayette for 11 consecutive Mondays. And so that's how we put this together into basically taking all the lecture material and putting it into one big lump. It was actually originally designed for missionaries because they were the ones who were fussing at us the most about, look, we're on furlough. We can't be traveling to Lafayette 11 consecutive Mondays. We want the training. Get it in a lump. And so we used to call this years ago the Missionary Training Conference, and then we essentially built it out. Well, when you have that many people, we've got 25 people on our staff, got all these different pastors, all these different missionaries, you're all talking about counseling, you're all thinking about counseling, hopefully you're growing both in the development of the model and also just in the practice of it, the challenge becomes, then how do you go back and teach a basic training program? Because we started with our core lectures, and then some guy gets fired up about this. Hey, let's start talking about that. Let's emphasize this. We need more of this. We're learning about this, blah, blah, blah. And the thing just starts morphing into this. What are we going to teach? What are we not going to teach? How do we need to improve this? Blah, blah, blah. And it's a healthy tension, but it's a real tension. Because we try to be as thoughtful as we can about what is the best way to do this. What's the best way to do track one? And so last year, and we've been wrestling with these kind of things, doing all sorts of improvements along the way. But last year, we said, you know what? Here's going to be one of our major projects as a staff. We call them big rocks. We normally have 15 or 20 major things we're trying to get done in any given year. And one of our big rocks last year was to tear this entire track entirely down to its core. We ripped it totally apart. We said we're going to do a top-to-down audit of track one, and we're going to completely rewrite all of this material, everything. And every lecture has to justify itself. Why should that lecture be in a basic training program? And how can we do it better? So what I'm telling you, it's kind of a good news, bad news thing. A lot of the things you're about to hear this week have never been presented publicly before. In fact, the lecture I gave you last night, That was the first time that lecture has like ever been delivered in the history of man. But the bottom line is you're going to be getting things this week that have never been presented in this format before. It's brand new. It at least represents our latest and best thinking from our team and from everybody else that we can bring together on how do you do basic biblical counseling training. Well, then come around to this lecture. What makes biblical counseling biblical? Why did this one make the cut? Here's a couple of answers. One, because different people use the term biblical counseling in a variety of ways. We recognize that there are a lot of good men and women out there who are doing biblical counseling. They may not have been formally associated with faith or formally associated with some of the other groups that we run in. And we appreciate those folks. We are their friends. In fact, later on this week, we're going to be formally announcing the launch of a brand new biblical counseling coalition. So we believe in working together with other people. We believe in trying to marshal best practices. We believe in relationships with other people. So the last thing we want to be around here is we're the only ones. We are not into that for a second. But the fact of the matter is, the term biblical counseling is being used by a lot more people than ever before. And frankly, as an old guy, that does intrigue me a bit. On the one hand, I'm very thankful for that, but I'm also intrigued by it. There's a number of seminaries, a number of colleges, some denominations that, frankly, 20 years ago, if they said biblical counseling, it was with a snarl. And they didn't like biblical counseling very much, and they didn't talk very sweetly about us and all that sort of thing. And that's all right, but that's the way it used to be. Biblical counseling was kicked around by the evangelical church pretty strongly back in the old days. And what's interesting to me now is some of those same places that used to rip us to shreds are now advertising that they are practicing biblical counseling. And you can come to their school and receive a degree in biblical counseling. If I was a cynic, I might ask, like, why? When did repentance take place? Anyway, what changed, or did we? Here's my fear, at least in some places as well. Did we take the same integrational product, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. Did we take the same melding of Scripture and the latest psychological fad of the day that you were always teaching and ripping on us about? And did you just change the name but not change the content? And if that's what we did, I'm not sure there's a lot of integrity there. What I'm saying is the term biblical counseling is used in a lot more places than ever before. And there is a side of me that's very, very thankful for that. I think that that says that some of the work that has been done over the years has been effective. But I think it also means that a group like us needs to be very, very careful at the outset to define our terms. So there's no question about it, because you've probably had this situation where you're talking to a person who's using the term biblical counseling or biblical counselor. But the longer you talk to them and find out what it is that they're doing and calling biblical counseling, the more convinced you become that what they're doing and calling biblical counseling is dramatically different than what you do and call biblical counseling. Well, nobody has a copyright on the term. And so I want to be sure right at the outset of this program that we are defining our terms well. So what makes biblical counseling biblical? We need to talk about that, because a lot of different people are using the same term in a lot of different ways. Now, secondly, we all need caution and wisdom as we add ideas to our counseling model. And by the way, let me go back to that last point for just 1 minute. I want to say one more thing. You may, after you've heard us this week, decide that you differ with us on any number of things. And let me just say at the outset, we are not the kind of people who get nervous about that. Like, if you disagree with us on something, you're our enemy. That's not it. But if you walk away having a different position on certain things, that is no problem with me whatsoever. I don't think when I get to heaven, Jesus is going to let out this sigh of relief and say, oh, finally, you're here, the only guy who ever got it right, and then put his arm around me and say, now we have to go straighten out those whomevers. I mean, So I think we ought to carry ourselves with a modicum of humility here. And so we're going to tell you what we believe and why we believe it. But if you decide to take a different position on something, don't get all wound, okay? Just relax. Take a deep breath, even right now. Just relax. You feel it? A cleansing breath. Okay, there we go. Now, why do we need to talk about what makes biblical counseling also? Well, we need caution and wisdom as we add ideas to our counseling model. See, everybody here in this room is at a certain place in the development of your model. Or when I say model, I'll say that a lot in this hour. I'm talking about your approach to counseling. There's a lot of variety. Some of you are just getting started. Some of you have never seen a counseling case. Some of you have counseled a long time. You've got yours well developed, et cetera, et cetera. But let me ask you this. Wherever you are in the development of your model, Is it guaranteed that you're going to get better? Is it just